Hello.
Welcome to Sit for a Spell, a podcast where we discuss the lore, the traditions, and modern practices of the occult.
Learn alongside us as we explore the many ways the witches of today observe their craft.
So grab your book of shadows,
light your candles.
It's time to sit for a spell. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
We made it.
Again.
We have a very special, what is it called? Episode today.
Episode 9. We're having an episode.
Yeah. Something we have, our next interview, we have Daniel. Oh, I've never called you Daniel in my life. I don't know why I just did that. Do you want us to say your whole name, Danny?
Doesn't matter.
Danny Laughlin here.
Yay.
Welcome.
Hey. Welcome.
Hey. Hey, guys.
At Sinister Minister.
Right.
On Instagram. Mm-hmm. Or is it The Sinister Minister?
I think it's The Sinister Minister.
At The Sinister Minister.
That was
Instagram.
A good grab. Like, yeah. That's a good name on Instagram.
He is a minister, too.
Yeah.
Very but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We are here to talk about your life in Freemasonry, right?
Yep.
As much as we can.
Yeah. No, we can talk about a lot of it.
Yeah, we're going to get into it.
Well, I don't want to say there's anything off limits, but there are some things that we do need to keep private.
Yeah.
As any organization does.
And we can cut anything out that you don't like.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All of it.
Power of technology.
Okay, anything after my name.
After your Instagram.
Just 40 minutes of that beep sound.
Yeah. Just silence. I've known Daniel my entire life, literally. He's my cousin. He helped raise me.
Aww.
You're going to find out why I am the way I am because of him.
I had a big hand in helping him become this.
Thanks. You're welcome,
whatever
world.
This is, right? Yeah, exactly.
That's my cute, gift to the world.
I actually didn't know you were a Freemason until, like, not that long ago.
Really?
Like, a few years ago, maybe. Maybe it just, like, never came up.
Yeah, it's not something that I actually, well, I don't hide it. I mean, I do have I'm a card-carrying member. I do have my cards.
Hey.
But I also have pins. I have a ring. I have necklaces. I think I have it on.
Jewelry.
Oh, okay.
It's for the Order of the Eastern Star, which is our sister.
Okay.
Sorority, I guess. You want to say it's where the women join?
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine gave me this, actually, and it's silver with lapis
lazuli.
It had the color of the different and the different points. There's different colors, but they came off in a hot tub. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'd expect nothing less from you.
That came off in the hot tub.
That's not all that came off in the hot tub. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit. Okay, so what initially interested you into getting into Freemasonry?
Actually, it's something I had been interested, I think, for a very long time. It took me a long time to pursue it. But so much publications and a lot of, with the internet, things popping up, a lot of things I was reading and a lot of things I was listening to and watching, it's like it kept coming out and making itself present for me.
Okay.
So it just kind of, it was a gradual, journey.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was like very organic.
Yeah. I tend to live my life that way. I don't really push things. If it's meant to happen, it happens. But there's a lot of signs that come out, and not to equate it to religion, but priests and nuns will say they have a calling.
Mm.
And a lot of things just kept making themselves present in my view line, I guess. And it was something that I had looked into. And I think for a lot of the men that join Masonry or Freemasonry, there is a desire to know something. It's like there's something in you. You know there's more out there. It's kind of you're being drawn to something. It's not so, you know, I don't want to say it's like all mystical and like there's this pull, but there's just a desire like for belonging, a desire for like-mindedness.
Right. Yeah. And what year was this when you started like beginning?
I believe I first shown interest to the lodge in 2007. It might have been 2008. And there's a vetting process, like with pretty much any organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a first conversation with someone and at a Starbucks, at a coffee shop, and just asking me, I guess trying to figure out what my intent was to becoming a Freemason, and to see if I was like not hiding anything or trying to find out, because books had come out, specifically the Da Vinci Code, which
kind of alludes
to Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. And you see it in a lot of movies and in a lot of other books, a lot of writings. There's Holy Blood, Holy Grail that touches on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of mystery behind it. It's a very popular organization. We've been around for 300 years.
Wow.
The lodge that I joined, Lexington Lodge number 104 in Almonte, California, is number 104, which means it's one of the oldest lodges in the state of California.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm a traditionalist. I love history in the sense of tradition and I guess maintaining those aspects of life that we tend to, that tend to fall by the wayside, and things that aren't really done anymore. And I have a great uncle. You have a great uncle that was a Freemason. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Uncle Sal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And Aunt Salsa was a member of the Order of the Eastern Star.
Oh, my gosh. Cool. Yeah, I had no idea.
In the 50s, I believe, we saw a resurgence of a lot of lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was a sense of community. And they have game nights. They have, you know, picnics. Mm-hmm. We have barbecues every year. We get together monthly for dinner. And it can be just any random restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just just good conversation. It's family and,
yeah,
you know, it's just, it's guys that you know, guys that you're in the lodge with. You don't necessarily, excuse me, discuss lodge business, but you just discuss your life and things that are going on. And it's that sense of community.
It's like
and
a fraternity almost.
Yeah, it is a fraternity. It is a fraternity. It's a
without very, like the college.
Without the hazing. Yeah. Yeah, there's no hazing.
Yeah, it just builds a bond.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you all go through this thing together. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that drew me to Freemasonry too, was just a sense of belonging. Like I was looking for something. I was hanging out with different guys and different groups of people. And I had started book clubs. And I think it was just that desire to, I was seeking something.
Mm.
Seeking, and it wasn't necessarily companionship, but camaraderie.
And it's like they're all people. You all have to, I assume, start the same way and go through the same processes.
Yes.
So you kind of, it's very bonding that way.
It is, and it's fun. I mean, we laugh at each other. For me, a sign of friendship is teasing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's just kind of if you
hello,
you'll know I like you if I tease you or make fun of you. You know, you'll know you're in at that point.
That's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a family thing for us too.
Yeah, is there anything you can tell us about like the I don't know if you, like initiation or how you get started or
yeah? Well, there's bumper stickers and a saying, very common saying. If you want to be a Mason, ask a Mason.
Mm.
We don't recruit. We don't seek out people. We don't.
That's cool.
That is interesting.
We don't set up like at festivals or farmers markets. Like, hey, join Freemasonry. It's just you're drawn to it. More often than not, some people are there to see what the mysteries are, to see what the secrets are, to learn what it is. And I think they may fall by the wayside in attendance. They may go through the entire process, which can be pretty quick. And there's three steps, but I think once they get in, they realize it's not
what they thought it was.
Yeah, as sinister as they thought it was going to be, or like the mysteries of the universe are going to be unlocked to them like day one. And they, you know,
well, darn.
Yeah, there's no aliens sitting there. Yeah, they're going to think there's aliens sitting
like
in the
like, have you ever seen that that Simpsons episode?
Oh, I've been thinking about it all week. Yeah.
Oh, really?
They're called the Stonecutters, and they're like a secret society. And they're like literally are having like dinner, and there's like an alien and like
the president.
Yeah, the president, like Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah.
And like
we got cocoons in the basement.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It was not like that, is what you're telling me.
No, it's not.
Too bad.
But there is a lot of tradition, a lot of history, a lot of reverence in what we do. And just as humans. I think there's a lot of power in our movements, in our actions, and how we conduct our lives. And with Freemasonry, that's one of the big tenets, is we take good men and make them better.
Oh, that's cool. So that is nice.
We try to, it's very charitable. There's a lot of brotherly love. We look out for one another. We have Masonic homes for the elderly. We do a lot of fundraisers, a lot of donations. We have a deep pit barbecue every May for my lodge. And it's a fundraiser. And you sell tickets and you come and you have barbecue. And that money goes back into the communities.
That's really cool.
That's nice.
So your lodge specifically, did you choose that lodge for a reason? Or is it just like whatever was closest to you? Or how does that work?
I believe it's done regionally and it's done by zip code. So there was a lodge in Whittier, California that I used to pass by a lot on my way to the movies to Uptown Whittier.
Oh, I love that movie theater.
Yeah, it's a great little theater. Uh-huh. And it's a great little area. There's a lot of little shops and eateries and whatnot. But I would pass by it constantly and I thought, okay, maybe I'll join that. I'm a believer in signs and symbols. And when, like I say, when something keeps popping out at me over and over, there's a reason for it in my head. So I was going to join that lodge, but I realized once I actually sought membership somewhere that it's done by zip code. So for my zip code, it's the Almani Lodge. I was living in South Almani at the time. Mm. And mile-wise, I'll say geographically, I was closer to the Whittier Lodge. So I thought that's the one that I would go to. But it's, like I say, it's done regionally. So there's the Whittier Lodge, and I'm not sure what areas go into that. It may be like Buena Park or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Interesting. I wonder, do they do that for kind of like that sense of community? Like you're living in that community, you're going to the lodge in that community, you're supporting
it. That is a very strong reason for it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. Like school district.
Because you're raising money, you're giving back, you want to see it.
In your community, And you're familiar with the schools and, you know, all the other entities that are in that community.
What or who's in need or whatever.
That makes a lot of sense.
Cool. It's much more charitable than I realized.
I think a lot of people come to that. I think they expect it to be, I don't know, I think on, say, more secrets. I know when I first joined, I expected there to be more secrets.
You're like, hey, we're telling everybody everything.
I mean, I did. I thought there's, because you read so much and you hear so much.
Yeah.
And it's hard to discern what fact from fantasy or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think in me anyway, there is something that is always looking for the mystical and looking for the magical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now that I am a Freemason and have been now for 11 years, I've come to realize magic exists in many, many forms. Mm-hmm. And when something is done with reverence and with respect and with a nod to the past, the people that have gone before you and the people that have come after you, it makes you more appreciative of what you're doing when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because there are people that, I mean, just in life that have gone through the struggles that you won't have to face because they did it for you.
Yeah.
But you have to remember too, you are going through those struggles for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a magical thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. So in your lodge, there are there, what is it, like different levels, different positions you can hold?
In the Blue Lodge, well, that's what the Masonic lodges are referred to as the Blue Lodges. Uh-huh. Because I state that there is the Shriners are part of the Masonic body. Hmm. There's the York Rite.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And there's the Scottish Rite. And I believe, well, the Order of the Eastern Star. And for the younger, under 18-year-old men or boys, there is, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. Well, for the girls. There are Job's Daughters. And it's just the younger generation.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. I used to work with someone who did that. I had no idea it was part of the same organization.
Mm-hmm. And actually, just as a side note, the founder of the Boy Scouts was a Freemason.
Oh.
So that makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of traditions that get passed down. And just, you know, as a parent, you teach your children what your parents taught you. Mm-hmm. And you keep those traditions going.
Right.
You keep that history coming alive. And they, whether it just be, you know, making tortillas or a certain recipe, our Thanksgiving tradition, how we celebrate in the morning.
Yeah.
That was done before our generation. So I've never known a different, well, I know of other Thanksgivings and Friendsgivings and whatnot. But for our family, even just when how I lived alone out of state or up north, I still had it in the morning.
Yeah.
That's my tradition.
Your tradition.
You
know, yeah.
So you teach that as you go forward. And it's the same thing with Freemasonry. There's the three steps in the Blue Lodge, and you become an entered apprentice when you first join. And that harkens back. Yeah, I did say harken.
It's okay.
I mean, we're talking.
I use weird words.
Yeah.
Old. That's I use I'm history words all the time.
Yeah. It, I don't feel so out of sorts now.
No, you're good.
But yeah, it harkens back to when Masonry was a stonecutter's guild or union or whatnot, mm-hmm. way okay. back when. And you became an apprentice with a lot of skilled labor, whether it be construction or pattern making or ceramics or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You enter as an assistant or as an apprentice. You learn your trade, you learn your craft, and you go forward from there. And it's the same thing with Freemasonry. You enter as an entered apprentice. You go through your rituals, you go through your learning process, and then you become what is known as a... Yeah, well, you're entered, you're passed, and then you're raised is what it is. So you become an entered apprentice, and then you become a fallow craft, which is someone who is higher than an apprentice, but you're not a master yet. So you can still work on your own, but you're working under someone.
Okay.
And say in stone cutting masonry, you know, in the traditional masonry.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then you become, once you get to a certain level, you go through your learning again and your processes and rituals. You essentially you're ascending within your craft. So you start at the bottom level, you become a fellow craft, and then you eventually become a master mason.
Okay.
Now, in order to go into the Shriners or into the York Rite or the Scottish Rite, you have to be a master mason. So you cannot be anything above that unless you're the third degree, which the first degree is entered apprentice.
Okay.
Second. Mm-hmm.
And so is there on. A certain amount of time that it takes, or can you go through it as quickly as you want, or does it take?
It's pretty much up to the lodge. I want to say I was fast tracked. I'm a fast learner, but the gentleman that brought me in, or not say brought me in, that basically were my mentors in Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. We got along good. There was a desire on both sides, mm-hmm. for me to go through the rituals fast and to become a master mason. And it was something I was really interested in. So I think your desire has a lot to do with it,
mm-hmm.
and your timing. Are you able to devote the time to it?
Right. Yeah.
Because it is a lot of learning and a lot of, I wouldn't say respect to time that you need to give, because you can pretty much learn anything as quickly as you can, but will you retain it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's, you yeah. know, that's a big part
that's
of Freemasonry.
That's a good way, the respect. To,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then once you're a master, then can you then mentor others?
Yes, definitely. I was asked to be the new candidate's mentor.
Okay.
To help them learn the rituals, to help them go through the steps, to
ascend. Can only masters do that?
I don't know, but I know only masters have been asked in my lodge.
Okay.
And I think it's just, again, because you know the rituals, you've been through it, you know, they
right.
know, it's the trust. You know, yeah. They know that
makes
you know what you're
sense.
Doing. Because you
yeah.
don't want to have somebody who doesn't really know what's going on try to teach somebody.
Others.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you know, it's unlearning something right
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool.
That is cool.
Already is stuff I didn't even... We've talked about it before too, yeah. and it's already
yeah.
like, what? I didn't know how the stuff
yeah,
you're
and,
talking
you know,
about.
And now that I've been called to task, I realize I know more than I thought I did. I was really nervous about getting here. Oh
this is kind of like
oh
a
my God. I was like, Lord, just let me speak
pop quiz.
No, you're good. Okay, so let's get into the little bit more of like the mystical side of it, because there is a mystical side too, right?
Yes, there is.
And
yes.
there's a... doing the little amounts of research that we did for this, something that came up, the Supreme Being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? And you know,
yeah,
like
I can. And actually, that's a very good question. It's a very important question.
Okay.
In order to become a Master Mason, you have to believe in a higher power.
Okay.
We don't tell you who you have to believe in. We don't. I don't want to say we don't care who you believe in. It's just for us, it's not important what you call it or how you worship it or how you believe it, just so that you believe there is something above you.
So like you just have to have something that you're putting your faith into.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just, like in Judaism, they wear the yarmulke. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Roman Catholics, the Pope wears, I believe it's called a zucchetto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out why, because they're two different religions. And I know all religions is started somewhere in one basic religion and then have branched off since from there. But it's in respect, they wear the zucchetto or the yarmulke in respect to something above them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of like with Freemasonry. You have to believe in a higher power. There is something greater than you that put you here. And we call it the supreme architect of the universe or the great architect of the universe.
Oh, okay.
So it's not necessarily, you can call it Allah, you can call it God, Buddha, you know.
So it's not tied to any one religion.
No, no. We have a lot of different religions in my lodge alone.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not
like a unifier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice. Not to sound so like dismissive, but it's like, it's just a generalizer, you know?
It's
as long as you believe in something above you.
Yeah.
I haven't come across anyone, but if you come to a lodge and I don't know, don't believe in anything, I don't know if they'll let you in. I don't know if they'll let you join.
Well, because I'm assuming if you're working so much towards bettering your community, bettering yourself, bettering your brothers, your lodge members, it's because you have that faith in something, that like motivation to keep you going, is what I would assume.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Or just it's humbling.
Yeah.
It is. And we're all in it together, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. We're all in it together.
We're all here for a greater purpose.
Right.
To better our community, to better ourselves because of something higher than us.
Might as well work together.
Yeah. And it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier on the way here, where birds of a feather flock together. You seek that like-mindedness.
Yes.
And I think you're drawn towards the people that support that. You know, it's kind of like a self-serving goal. You want to lose weight. You want to eat better. Mm-hmm. You start walking and then you start seeing how each one, because you feel better, you want to keep doing it. So it's like, mm-hmm.
I gotta work out later, so I can't eat a hamburger, you know, so I better eat better. Right. You work out, you're like, oh, I feel better. I don't want to waste it by eating a hamburger, you know.
Yeah.
It's very cycle.
It's very spherical.
And I think kind of it also takes like a very, because there are very spiritual people who are also can be closed-minded. Mm-hmm. So it takes a very open-minded person who does believe in their higher power, whatever that is, to also say, well, I'm going to work with all these other people who don't believe necessarily in what I believe in, but they believe in enough to work together and come together and be together, even though we don't agree.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many religions, formed religions and organized religions. And there's so many spiritual people that don't really subscribe to any one religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just spiritual, and I see that more and more now, where people's like, I'm spiritual. It's like, I don't go to church, I don't, you know, worship the way you do. Well, it doesn't mean that they're not worshiping respectfully their way to their God,
to whatever that may be.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's just be a good person, you know.
Yeah, and it's
just be good and help the next person. One of our sayings in Freemasonry is like, you can help someone the length of your cable toe. And it could be, started out as a physical cable toe. Symbolically, it's a cable toe. Mm-hmm. But for me, my cable toe is the length of my arm, because that's how long it's going to take or how far it is for me to extend my hand to help someone. Mm. And I'm of the mindset, and thanks to my grandmother, to your grandma.
I know her.
Instead of, yeah, I remember her name. Crazy lady.
She was.
She was very... I don't know. She was a trip.
She was.
But her thing was, instead of pointing a finger, why don't you extend a hand? Mm-hmm. So when I got to Freemasonry years later, that really resonated with me because that is the length of your cable toes, how far you can help somebody. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not taken away from yourself, you help yourself and your family first, because that's just how it is. But you help someone else. And a lot of
times, you can.
As people will give more than we can, just because we have a certain belief that we're going to get it back.
Right.
We'll be fine. You know, it's like, if I can give someone a dollar on the street, maybe that's the only dollar I have. Okay, but I have a house to go to. I have food in my cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
So that dollar is not going to put me in the poorhouse. I can give it to them and it may change their life.
Yeah.
You know,
at least, at the very least, get them through the day.
Exactly. And whatever they need for that day, I hope it helps. I hope it helps.
Yeah.
And it's not going to hurt me, you know, and it, again, but it's done with your intent as well.
Right.
And there's reverence in that. And it's your respect for what I can do, I will do. And if sometimes all I can do is be there, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something too that I've learned through Freemasonry is you're part of something bigger. You're part of something greater. And I think that ties back to that supreme being and the supreme architect of the universe where we're all in it together. We're all part of something bigger and greater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think being a Freemason has helped like solidify your belief in whatever you believe is that higher power?
100%.
Yeah.
It's clarified a lot for me. Just through my readings, through my teachings, sometimes I get to lodge more often not than I used to. But what I've learned from Freemasonry, what I've learned through my readings about Freemasonry and through my belief system, it kind of all solidified in my head that I'm on the right track, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to ask the mentors that brought me in. Unfortunately, they both passed away now. But they would never give me solid answers, and that's what I was looking for, to be honest with you.
I mean, aren't we all?
I would just ask them straight out, you know, about God, about aliens, about the universe, about why things are the way they are. And they would laugh at me more often than not. And hard, too. They would laugh really hard at me. Yeah, there were those guys. And very, very good men. One of them became a very good mentor of mine. And he was just a really good guy. But he would not give you what you need. He was of the mindset, like, if you go back into the Bible, so to speak, or I don't remember the passage, but it's, you can teach a man to fish, or you can give a man a fish. That, give a man a fish, eats that day. Teach a man to fish, and eats for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way Dick Parker was. He would just give you the lesson or point you in the right direction. And it got to the point where I would come to him with things written down on paper, like notebook paper or a cocktail napkin, you know, when I thought of it. And he would say, no, why don't you try looking in this direction? Or why don't, you know, no, keep thinking about it. So I was like, all right. So I'd walk away frustrated or annoyed. And then there was times where I'd come to him with something I had written down. And he's like, yeah, why don't you keep going to that, you know?
Yeah,
I think you're onto something there. Why don't you keep looking that up? But he would never tell me because I would just want
to
know.
He was more like giving you the tools to figure it out on your own.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good mentor.
It's a very good mentor.
Oh, I loved him so much. He was a really good guy.
It's like being a parent, and you know, as hard as it is sometimes, letting your children struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you.
But they have to learn their lessons.
You want them to, you want them to learn how to.
To cope with things and how to deal with things.
How to get up after they fall or how to, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pull a little harder to pull themselves up on something.
And how to do it for themselves. I mean, we were all taught, you know, how to cook, clean, do laundry, iron clothes with always a sarcastic remark of like, well, what happens, you know, what's going to happen to you if something happens to me?
Uh-huh.
You got to learn how to take care of yourself.
Not going
to be around
forever. Yeah.
So it was kind of that mindset. And he was a parent. He was a grandparent.
Yeah.
And he was a good mentor. I mean,
well, he wanted you to be able to do it on your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not always come to him for answers for everything.
Right. But he did guide me in the sense of, no, you're off base. You know, like, no, why would you think that?
Like he's like,
okay.
He's like, oh, just tell me.
He's like, or he'd be like, that's what went through your head? Really? Like, okay. Okay, I'll go look. I'll keep looking.
That's funny.
And it's I think, a desire within you to seek the answers, to seek the truth, and to try to find out what is really out there, you know, and like I say, I wasn't given the answers, but I've been led in directions and have just been taught to rely on my faith and the strength in that.
Yeah, which is like invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Because a lot of times.
And we're given that from our families a lot. You know, we have our base in religion or a strong faith or just, you know.
Family ties.
Just know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And believe
or just,
it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Just. Not even belief, but like knowing that your family will always be there.
Right. Yeah.
And not a lot of
we're
people
very fortunate
have
that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because your family is the same way, Jess. You guys are very close and always there for each other.
Yeah. We're very close. my immediate family is very close. We have the Lewis Moeller family is very tiny, and it's tiny on both sides, but we're all very spread apart, and we don't necessarily interact with each other very much. We're
is that because of geographics?
No.
You're just not close.
We're just not close. Our I would say every kind of little family pod is very different, whether it's politically different, religiously different, just different human values. And
you know, what's so funny is
they don't connect.
People talk about immediate family all the time, and I always include it's supposed to be your brother or your sister,
it's
your mom,
your immediate
dad.
Yeah,
but I'm always my immediate family. Like my cousin's cousin, yeah, we're really close. I always
That's
whenever people say that
family.
I know, but I consider Danny my immediate family, but he's he's my cousin.
But it's whatever you make of it, you know.
And, right,
and so we'll try to branch out and talk to a cousin or go visit or do something, but then it always kind of trickles out. But my immediate family, my mom, my sister, my brother, my dad, and my husband were very close.
That's good. That's good.
And you're not close geographically.
No, they live in Arizona.
Oh,
you
wow.
live here. Your brother lives in New Mexico.
My brother lives in New Mexico, but I talk to my mom or my sister or both every day.
Yeah. Okay. Very close.
That's good.
Yeah. But we have that sense of family. We have very heavy family tradition, even though it's just kind of when I was little, I always used to kind of be annoyed about it because I've always loved history and that we didn't have a deep
nerd.
Tradition.
She is a nerd.
But we have we have Thanksgiving and we have Christmas and we're big on birthdays. And those are kind of American traditions.
Right.
And so I was always annoyed that we didn't have I don't know, bigger...
Boxing Day?
Our Irish tradition.
Yeah, because we're not particularly True. Religious. Yeah. I'm baptized. We went to church for 3 years. And all I remember is that there was a cute boy.
I mean, I did all that and you're not really missing much. So.
Yeah, so it's just as a family, we're very bonded. But it's interesting because we're not bonded through religion or any particular tradition.
Family.
Family. Just,
your family reminds
me
a lot of our family. Yeah, they're
very,
very
loud.
Like us. There's just a lot less of them.
Yeah.
There's 40 of us at any given occasion.
And there's 6 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, we did a count on Christmas Eve and there was 32 of us in my aunt's house.
Oh, wow. And not everybody could make it.
Right.
Not even everybody was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There was 32. And that's my immediate family. I mean,
I can't even imagine.
That's my grandma's kids, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Her kids, grandkids, great-grandkids.
We're all still.
Yeah, we're all very close.
Yeah.
I talk to my cousin David a lot, you know. And now, thanks to social media, I talk to everybody in the world.
Hello, everyone in the world.
That's funny. But and we make our own family, and it's kind of going back to how the lodge works. You build your own community of like-minded people. And even though my family is really small, I have my friends. I have James and my other podcast girls.
Because we have our friend group have our own traditions now.
We do.
We do things. We do we call it our triple donkey fiesta because my birthday, her birthday, and Doug's birthday, husband's birthday are all within a week of or so of each other.
I was totally excited for the wrong reason.
I know. I was like, wait, relax.
I was like, whoa.
In April, one year we were just let's have a triple birthday party. So every year then we've done something all of us together.
That's
so
nice.
We always do Friendsgiving and Friends Christmas. And before it was just the girls. Mm-hmm. Now we've incorporated the guys and now we have kids. And
I like that.
We do something during the summer
guys call
always.
It Friendsgiving.
Right.
Because a few years back, I was hanging out with a group of guys and we used to go to Palm Springs a lot and just weekends away. You know, just something to do.
Oh, we love weekends away.
Away from work and away from, the norm of Hollywood, West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they used to do what was called an orphan's Thanksgiving. And I love your Friendsgiving so much better. Sounds so much better. You know, but it's people are so extended, and especially in California, it's kind of a melting pot from other states.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of people that are alone here. And not necessarily lonely, but there's a lot of people here that are away from family, away from the
Well,
norm.
I think especially in your community, in the gay community, a lot of people don't have their families.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's,
it could just be geographically, but it could be they were disowned or they were just turned away or they just felt a need to separate themselves.
Yeah. Or to find people, again, like-minded people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's great that you guys found each other and were able to be together. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it's just something within the human species or just, our being.
Oh, absolutely.
To not be alone.
Yeah.
We need each other for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I mean,
humans are by physiological,
sure.
just by nature, we need a tribe. Just by nature, we need a tribe. We're like, yes. we're like wolves. We need a group. Aww. We're not solitary creatures.
We're like and bats.
Yeah. any animal you can compare us to that needs a group. We're not like even lions and yeah. everything. We yeah. just, we need a group. We need
it's
a
nature.
Tribe. Yeah. It's nature. And so exactly. if you don't have one through birth, we just find one.
Yeah.
And the people mm-hmm. who don't find one are those ones who are generally very unhappy. They don't know where they're going. They don't have a path. And it's yeah. it's harder for them.
Yeah. And so you definitely got that from your lodge.
I did.
What you were looking
did.
For.
Yeah. I have I've made some tremendous friends through my lodge. And we've been there for each other. And even if it's just a phone call, you know, there's one guy that I'm very connected with. I want to say on a cosmic level or spiritually.
Yeah.
We tend to reach out to each other. Like at the oddest times, but it's always when we need each other.
That's
or
nice.
He'll be on my mind for mm-hmm. whatever reason. So, and I'm that person now because I'm really bad at keeping in touch with people. But I've gotten better with, if I'm thinking about you, I'm going to send you a text real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to respond. It could just be like, hey, you know, you're on yeah. my mind. Is everything okay? Or
I've definitely gotten those messages from you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's always at times where I'm like, I need it.
Yeah. So there's something yeah. out there, you know, like a connection that it's just, we seek each other out, mm-hmm. and especially us as a family. I mean, we do seek each other out. We hang out
right.
together. You know? But there's certain friends and certain people that, you, like you say, are like we were saying earlier, where you gravitate towards. And it's just mm-hmm. for a sense of normalcy, I think.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
We all can be our worst critic, our harshest judge, and feel like a freak sometimes, you know, by yourself. And like,
yeah.
am I normal? Mm-hmm. Is this... But then you find other people.
I mean,
it's that little B-girl from that Blind Melon video.
Right.
You remember where she opened that gate and she's like, oh my God, like there's
somebody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I first walked into a gay bar for the very first time. It's like, oh, this is where
you guys
is.
Are.
This is where everybody is.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten messages from mm-hmm. people telling us, even this, like this mm-hmm. little podcast that we're doing, people telling us, like, you make me feel not alone.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I think, especially like in this community, this like, quote unquote, like which community mm-hmm. people can feel ashamed. I don't know enough. I'm not advanced mm-hmm. enough. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I don't practice right. enough, whatever. But we are very forthcoming with the fact that like, we don't know anything. We're
I
learning.
Have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. You yeah. saw how long it took us to set up this podcast.
We didn't know the microphone had an on off switch.
And it took a Master Mason to tell you. Yes, I know.
So I mean, yeah, it is finding those people.
Yeah. And, yeah, and you do. You can feel very solitary, and it's
yes.
it can be with a lot of things. I mean, I'm a designer by trade and or by gift. I don't know, but I can design some off the wall shit sometimes, and it's just like. But if you're designing in a vacuum, everything looks good. Everything's right.
Right.
Everything's on. Oh, that's great.
Are those questions
sell
that you brought to your?
Yeah.
You know your mentor. And you,
oh yeah.
And you're,
oh,
he's
yeah.
like, what are you?
Yeah. No, seriously. Like that came out of your head. It's like, oh my God. It's like, all right, and put my head down like Snoopy and walk away.
Aww.
Like,
aw.
But, I mean, you learn, and, like, I don't know. There's just something there, like between people, that
yeah,
you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you need each other, you find each other,
yeah,
and whether it be over the airwaves or you know the internet or going into you know a club, a book club, a bar, a mm-hmm. you know a restaurant,
yeah,
we're,
a lodge
we're seeking that connection,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah,
especially as witches, I mean that is something. The word coven exists for a reason,
it does.
Right?
You know,
mm-hmm. you find your coven,
yeah, and there's a lot of names for a family, you know. There's
yeah.
friends, there's a coven, there's a lodge, there's a fraternity, a sorority,
mm-hmm.
there's committees. There's
your tribe. Your
yeah,
yeah.
Your tribe. It's exactly. And there's soulmates, which to me has another meaning other than the person you think you're destined to spend the rest of your life with as a marriage partner and romantically.
Mm-hmm.
I have soulmates that I would never even think of that way at all.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And they're there and I know it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You just you find who you need to find when you need to find them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think mm-hmm. that's really interesting that the like these kinds of things I never would have thought of about, when you think Freemasonry, you don't think like, you know, you think those like aliens and
right
running the government and like, so what are like the, yeah, what are the biggest like misconceptions you,
oh yeah,
you mm-hmm, you think people have about Freemasons or Freemasonry?
That we run the world and that we have inner workings in government and finance and on Wall Street, mm-hmm, and we don't run
lizard
the world.
People,
we just run the important things.
There's no lizard people.
The reptilians? No. I don't know. There might be some. I've seen a couple of people that are kind of scaly. It could have just been ashy, though. I don't know. But no, I think the Illuminati, for some reason.
So is the Illuminati, is that like quote unquote tied to the like Freemason?
Or is that like another misconception?
Honestly, I don't know. It could.
Because the Illuminati is not like a confirmed group, right?
Yeah, we don't even know
right
if it's real.
It's like the Bilderberg Group. It's one of those shadow organizations that may or may not exist.
Okay.
I believe like stereotypes and symbols and whatnot, they started somewhere. It had to start somewhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know where that thought came from. But if you break it down, and this may just be like me being a geek, the word alone, I mean, it's enlightened, you know, it means enlightened, like Illuminati, it's like illuminated,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
it's like the misconception about,
go for it, man, go for it.
About the devil. The name Lucifer means light bearer. So it's like the whole thing about Lucifer and the devil, what have you, in the Bible was the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve were innocent, and mm-hmm, then they were given this knowledge,
mm-hmm,
and then realized that they were unclothed and what they were, who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come into modern times, you think of, I think it's, is it that guy Sweden? The one who leaked all those things?
Snowden?
Snowden, that guy.
Mm.
Now, if you put that in context of the devil and the world, and you take Snowden and him releasing all those documents and trying to enlighten the people,
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm,
he got a very bad rap. And yeah, what he did was illegal, but what were the reasons why he did it? You know, to enlighten people, to educate people, mm-hmm, to let them know what was going on. Now, if you put that with the devil, and like, I mean, the dude got a bad rap, right? Not the devil. I mean, the devil got a bad rap too. Snowden. It's like right away people started trying to defame him, and he was a traitor, he was, you know, a thief and all this stuff.
Well, he's only a traitor. I don't know enough about this to know exactly what he was, you know, let out, but he was only a traitor because the people whose secrets he was revealing said he was a traitor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Okay. Now with that thought in mind, think of the devil. Now, if he had this certain knowledge or whatever and then gave it to the humans, where maybe there was a group of, I don't know, angels or aliens, mm-hmm, or whoever that didn't want humans to have that knowledge, but he gave it to them. Well, his name alone says light bearer. Mm-hmm. So he's enlightening people. He's bringing the light to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically when, you know, we have an idea, you know, the light bulb goes off over our head.
Right.
Or we think, you know, we're more enlightened than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those things to me are tied together. And that's just my brain. That's kind of where my old mentor would be like, that came out of your head. Like, that's what goes on in that mind. But it's, to me, it's like, it's what you put on it and what you think of it. It's kind of like, not necessarily you have to change your perception, but try seeing something from a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Illuminati, people automatically go dark.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm, and okay, well, the word alone is Illuminati, you know, it's like illuminating or illuminated. So, but they take it to a very dark place. The same thing with Freemasonry. They take that to a very dark place.
Right.
And I mean, but people do that with the government, you know.
They do.
Right.
They do it because they don't know how to explain it. They don't know.
Right.
They're not comfortable. So because you're not comfortable, you don't like it. So you're going to speak against it.
Right. And you see people with certain viewpoints that are in certain positions or what have you. Well, they work there to get to that position. I'm not saying they're, you know, everybody should be in those positions,
mm-hmm,
but the position alone commands respect regardless of that position.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what, like, what you take to it and what you give to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had good presidents. We've had not so good presidents. We've had, you know, great corporations, we've had very giving corporations, and we've had some that are not so giving, right. Some that are very self-serving. Mm-hmm. But it's, how do you perceive them? What is like their purpose? What is it like? What are they trying to do? Mm-hmm. And did it just go left at some point? You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. Did things go south, or did they just get a bad rap on certain things?
Right.
Maybe, you know, maybe somebody was a disgruntled employee and now they're just, you know, having a smear campaign on them for something.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of like that with the Illuminati. Like I say, there's the Scottish Rite and the York Rite, and I don't really know much about those. I have a friend that did go through those chairs and did go through those levels and is now a 32nd degree Mason.
Mm. Oh.
So he's the one I was trying to get in touch with to see if I can get more input from him, mm-hmm. just because I know he has a lot of knowledge on it. And that is something that he has dedicated, I would say, 10 years to, of studying.
Right.
And to learning. So the Knights Templar is part of a, I believe it's the Scottish Rite. Mm-hmm. So it's a step. So it's like, I say, with Freemasonry, you become an entered apprentice, a fellow craft, a master mason. Mm-hmm. And then you can go into your other degrees, which one of them is a Knights Templar. And then but they have their own set in history.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So how true is it about the Illuminati? I really don't know. And I'm not trying to be like all mysterious, like, oh, well, I don't know about that one. No, it's just, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah. But I don't know.
But people automatically assume, oh, you're in.
Right.
You're in, so you must know everything.
Right. Right.
It's like when people are like, oh, you're the president, so you must know there's aliens in Area 51. Like, you know, like they think.
But the presidency is a transitory position. So
right. It's like, they're not going to tell every guy all the secrets.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I get that's.
And then what you seek out too, like I say, my friend, he did go through the other chairs and wanted to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. I stopped here because of timing, and it was just, I was working a lot and couldn't mm-hmm. devote the time that I needed to actually to do it justice and to do myself justice on it.
Yeah.
Are we way off base?
No.
Okay.
No, I was just trying to see the other questions we had written down. No, I think that's really interesting, because I feel like even a lot of things get a bad rap.
Witches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a big, huge one. I think, like Jess had said at the beginning of this podcast, she was like coming out of the broom closet. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you don't.
That's hot.
I still get nervous, like posting things to my like personal page, like, guys, go listen to this. And then I like think about what I say in the episodes and I'm like, oh no, like everyone's going to know my secrets.
You have to live your truth.
Yeah.
You have to live your truth.
And I think now more than ever is the best time. It's so everyone.
And
this is the time. Yeah.
It's like we're in the age of ascension. There's been like an awakening across so many continents and so many people of different beliefs, different backgrounds, mm-hmm. people that I would never think would think the way I do, mm-hmm. I've come across. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like people are just coming to that realization, but it's a collective mindset.
Right.
You know? And the more, I don't want to say wake up, because it's not like, you know, we're zombies, but I think the more people that come to their spiritual awakening, the more that will come along with it. It's kind of like an osmosis thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like California being a blue state. Well, there's so many people here that think the same way. Collectively, as a state, mm-hmm. we think that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then collectively, as a nation, we think a certain way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's that whole, it's that like energy field. You know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's catching.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's the same. It goes all the way back again to like-minded.
Yeah.
That seek each other out.
Yeah. People move to California and to New York.
They
want to
be around people.
Because they want to be with the people they want to be with.
Yeah, they seek a certain lifestyle or a certain.
Have you seen any changes in the Freemasonry in your, I don't know if in your chapter specifically or in the organization as a whole to like keep up with modern times?
I mean, aside from like the like digital, like things going digital on us and stuff, but. Mm-hmm. Our traditions are traditions, you know, mm-hmm. kind of with anyone. And we look to, I want to say protect those traditions, but protect them by furthering them and by continuing mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
Not protect them like from the world and like, oh, nobody's got to know about. No, it's like we want to preserve those traditions and those rituals. Mm-hmm. Again, I go back to, you do something with reverence, it means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, you can find that same sentiment in music, in books, in literature, and throughout time. It's how you do something that brings the magic to it. Mm-hmm. And with Freemasonry, it's, I want to say membership has dropped off a little, but it hasn't. I think it's always been kind of peaks and valleys for Freemasonry. Yeah. And like in the 50s, lodges, the Elks Lodge, the Lions Club, the Freemasons, mm-hmm. they were very big because it was a very big thing at that time.
Yes, very popular at that time.
Yeah. And then people kind of went anti-establishment and against
the old ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're looking for freedom and free love and free, you know, they didn't want to be put in any boxes or whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that desire to belong and that desire of like seeking of I think that's just within us, you know, the desire to seek something out, to find mm-hmm. something more. It's going to always be there. And so, like I say, it peaks and valleys, and there's younger guys that come into the lodge. There's older men that joined the lodge. I joined at 38 years old, and I've known guys in there that were, I believe, 24.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So I think it's as you come to your realization of whatever leads you to that door.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, you know, through witchcraft or through Freemasonry or the priesthood or whatever, wherever you're going, we're all in our own time. Mm-hmm. We're all on our own calendar, our own schedule. And you can't force it. And like with Freemasonry, we don't recruit. Mm-hmm. So it's just as people come to us, it's because that's what they're seeking.
Right.
So but,
how does it work with families? Like, are there generations of grandparents and sons and fathers?
There is. My friend Dick Parker, my old mentor, his father and his grandfather were members of, his father was a member of the Rio Hondo Lodge. And then he became affiliated with the Lexington Lodge. And Dick Parker, his son, followed him into it.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And I believe Dick was a third generation.
Okay. And have there ever been, like, limitations on, like, race or creed or orientation? Like, or has that kind of always been an open thing?
No, it hasn't. There's what we call the Prince Hall Lodges.
Okay.
And those were primarily, or not primarily, those were for African Americans. Now, I don't know if the reason why they started or how they started that way or why they were separate. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it goes back to like our dark history where we had slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things for Freemasonry is you're a free man.
Okay.
So that's, you know, like you're there by choice. You're there of your own will. And I don't know if that was one of the reasons why it was separate, was because they still wanted to be it. Freemasons still wanted to allow it.
Right.
But because they weren't quote unquote their own person, they went into this lodge instead. I honestly, I don't know. I mean, I'm just assuming and pulling shit out of my head.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a tough one to answer, huh?
I mean, it's definitely worth looking into.
Yeah. You
know? It really
is. I always wonder about that, about, you know, any organization like that where it's like member based and you have to be accepted, you know, like I always wonder about that, because it's not Freemason, it's everything. It's there's country clubs still that don't accept anybody but white
absolutely.
People, you know, like it's crazy sometimes, but
are you made to feel out of sorts. I mean, where I live, there's a lot of Asians. I walk into a restaurant and I get stared at,
right?
So it's not necessarily, you know, always black and so black and white,
right?
You know, there's a lot of shades in there. But too, it's like, for as accepting as we are with religion, I wonder where that started, you know, or why that started, you know,
right.
Because it's like, as long as you believe in a higher power,
but I think that's a pretty advanced way of thinking, that a lot of people don't think that way. There are people these days still who call themselves religious, whether it's Christian, Catholic, and still have racist beliefs and, you know, try to use their religion to justify it.
Absolutely.
To justify it. And but I think it takes an enlightened person to be like, to say, oh, it doesn't matter what you look like, who you love, you know, where you come from.
Yeah, because
we're all in this together. I think that's a pretty
And I'm not the only gay member of my lodge. And there's another gentleman there with his husband, and only one of them is a member.
Okay.
But it's, why don't we just accept? And everyone, which is really odd when you think of the Prince Hall lodges and the racist thing or racial division, that everyone is considered equal in that lodge. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in the lodge and say our president happens to be a Freemason, we are equal in that lodge. no one's
punch him right in the stomach.
Or our former presidents.
You can punch them too. I mean,
it doesn't matter what you are in life outside of the lodge. If you're in that lodge, you're a Mason and you're equal.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's that we're all created equal mentality, and
I like that a lot.
It's in our constitution.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you'd think it is. So the like secrecy that the group does have, is it to protect the tradition or just so like it doesn't grow too rapidly? Like, I don't know if you could talk about that, but like why there is secrecy in it.
I don't know why there is so much secrecy or why people were.
Or even if we perceive that it's secret and
yeah,
it's
not. Yeah, do we think
secret?
It's more secretive than it actually is?
I think that, yeah. I think that's a very common thought. Is like people are actually think there's like dark dealings or, you know, we protect our rituals, mm-hmm. where a lot of organizations do. There's a lot of inner workings, no matter what business you're in, that the public isn't privy
right.
to.
Yeah.
Or even within the same people within the same corporation. Having been a manager in the garment industry, there was things that I was privy to that I couldn't share with my team.
Right.
You know, or I shouldn't share with my team just for their well-being, for their mental health, for my mental health. You know? But it's like that, I think, in any organization.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense.
We do, our rituals are sacred to us, but I mean, I'm going to say like Catholic rituals are sacred to Catholics. You know, the Mormon mm-hmm. rituals, there's a lot of mystery within the Mormon church mm-hmm. and like certain garments that they wear mm-hmm. and certain processions that people go through either in mm-hmm. like for the Catholic Church, they do the Stations of the Cross, like mm-hmm. for Easter and whatnot.
Right.
And that's a very ancient thing, you know, yeah. it's a very revered thing for someone to get picked to do those stations.
Right.
And with Freemasonry, it's kind of the same thing. And it's just, I mean, there's no dark
dealings.
I mean,
dealings. It makes sense to keep things within your organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're going to put up a billboard with like, these are the bullet points of all the things we do. Come.
Right. Like, but I mean, again, there is a book out there called Duncan's Ritual on Freemasonry. And it explains a lot of what we go through. Our Dugard signs, symbols, the symbolism. It explains what they mean mm-hmm. and why they're there. And it's basically, it's like I say, helping good men become better.
Yeah.
And it's like it's an ascension. There's a ladder that is you can find pictures of it and whatnot all over the internet. And it's like a symbolism and symbolically taking up the rungs and you
right,
go up each rung and you're ascending. Not necessarily physically, but mentally.
Yeah.
You're becoming more enlightened and more aware. And you get to the point where things are not ingrained in you, but they just become part of your daily life, living as a better person. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're angry or whatever, it's like thinking before you send that email, thinking before you respond, you know, on text or whatnot. And it's just taking a step back. And a lot of those rituals help solidify that mindset.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh. Speaking of symbols.
Uh-oh.
What are some symbols that we might like associate with Freemasonry and people might see them and be like, I have no idea what that is.
Definitely this on the cover of this book yeah. that we're looking at. What is that?
That is a Bible.
Okay.
On top of it is the square and compass. And that's probably the most recognizable symbol of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
And
for
sometimes
sure.
you'll see it with the G. And some people say it stands for God. Some people say it stands for geometry.
Oh.
Because, again, we...
are builders.
Oh, yeah. So we have another book here that Danny brought. It has the same... What is it?
Square
and
compass?
Mm-hmm. And it has a G, but this one doesn't.
Right.
This one does. You can't see what we're talking about.
We'll put
pictures up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also brought like a little book that we weren't allowed to.
Yeah, that was, I kind of tend to keep all my books together just because I'm a slob. And if I don't put it together, then I'll forget
where it
is or whatnot.
That little blue book that you had.
Yeah, that's our Masonic cipher. It's written in code. It's a cipher.
So nobody can.
So it's like another language, basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not really. It's for us as members and what we need to learn as we go through our rituals. And
Yeah.
It's cool part of the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and I think that's an exciting part of it for a lot of people for joining Freemasonry mm-hmm. is that there are some things that only you know. you know,
yeah, and it just kind of cool.
Yeah. you kind of keep it to your, like, close to your chest, where it's just like, that's something for you, and that's something that you will go through.
I think that's really cool.
It is. It's nice.
It's that's to me, that's like the fun part, and the I think the part that a lot of people join
the learning. For. Even though it's like it's secrets, but it's not like sinister secrets.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just tradition. Which I think a lot of people,
and it's not like, okay, on page 34, it's going to talk about the gray aliens.
You know? Right. Like at page 39 is where we sacrifice the 40. Babies.
But you can only read it if you know the code.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's one of the symbols, is the most recognizable. But again, and you can interpret the G because we're not that hard and fast type of an organization where we'll accept all religions. You can call God what you want or just believe in a higher power. That you don't have to call it anything. But like I say, some Freemasons say the G stands for geometry, sacred geometry, the great architect of the universe.
Yeah, I like that.
And geometry transcends everything in all places.
Yeah.
And I think... a lot of scientists will believe, like, if we do communicate with another species or another being, we would probably do it through math.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
It like transcends all language on Earth, at least.
Yeah. Correct.
Exactly.
So, absolutely.
That's really cool.
So to wrap up, if someone came to you and said, I want to know more about this. I want to know, I'm interested in being in the initiation process. What is like maybe the spiel, or what in a nutshell would you tell them, like, just as kind of like a summary of what this all is?
Well, I would just tell them it's a brotherhood, it's a fraternity, it's an ancient fraternity, it's 300 years old. It's a sense of community. It's trying to take the good in you and expand it. And you can contact your local lodge. I mean, you can find them online. You can just go into a MAPS program or MAPS app and type in Masonic Lodge. And I'm sure the five will show up around in your neighborhood. And you could just contact them and get an application and start the process. It's a very simple process. It's very easy.
Nice.
That's cool.
It is.
I'm sure there's more around than we even realize.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, that's really cool. Is there anything else you want people to know? Anything you want to... plug or
no, I mean, just, you know, just remember we're all in it together. Just be good to each other, be good to yourself, and
that's a tough one,
enjoy
huh?
life.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
for
having
been
me.
Really enlightening.
It thank has
you. Yeah,
I've thank learned you. A lot.
Me too.
I didn't know a lot, but I've learned.
Right.
I learned a lot.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you again, and thank you the listener
Thank
for
you
listening
so much.
And we will see you next time.
Yeah. Okay. Comment on our Instagram or any of the streaming sites.
We're on Spotify now.
Yeah, we're on Spotify now. Let us know if there's things that you want us to get into, maybe other people you want us to interview. Let us know.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it is you.
Let us know.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sit for a Spell.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on all social media at Sit for a Spell Pod.
If you have anything you would like us to discuss or want to share your own practices, please email us at sitforaspellpod@gmail.com.
Until next time,
blessed be.